So like, I would say, hello, welcome. Thanks for listening to Electrician's Podcast.
Hello and welcome. It's Electrician's Podcast and you are listening to the audio version. Jamie's made me do this intro, especially for the audio version. So over to the...
Oh, you recorded it without me telling you. People are like, oh, ain't you told someone to record it?
We're now live. We are live. We're back. It's Sunday night and we're back in the house. This week is not going to be a repeat of last week, which was actual lunacy, bar none. It might have been the craziest week we've ever had in the history of the podcast. Over 300 people in the chat, throwing hundreds of pounds at the chat to ask inappropriate questions, and it just descended into degeneracy. But it was very, very fun, and I thank everyone for taking part. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about Jamie getting sued, workwear, how important it is to have comfortable workwear at work, and we're going to hit some news topics. But before all that, we're going with our number one sponsor, which is electricianspod.shop. And what does electricianspod.shop sell? Verso gear. Now, not just Verso are the best pound for pound fuse board sockets, switches and spurs you can get. They're just doing some great deals at the moment. So go over to electricianspod.shop, check it out, see what they got. Now, before we go over to the next sponsor, I'm going to give a cheeky shout out to our guest tonight, Komodo Workwear, a British-born brand. Now, he's come out of nowhere. He's designing his own clobber. He's having it made to exact specifications. And it is, quite frankly, again, another pound for pound best that is out there at the moment. I've tried them all. I'm a fat guy with an odd shape, and this stuff is so comfortable and smart. Comfortable and smart. It's very odd. Usually I wear jogging bottoms like a proper tramp. Jamie, over to you.
And my sponsor is Chevron New. If you want to test anything, especially analyze your power quality or maybe even measure your power quality or energy or volts or amps or anything like that, all we ask on this show is that you have a look at Chevron News gear first, see if they know something that will suit you, have a word with their reps. Our guarantee to you is you'll get the same service we get. I meant to do some film with them tomorrow, but it's been cancelled, unfortunately. So hold far on that. But yeah, if you want to do anything a little bit funky, especially around the power and energy areas, Chevron New are the go-to people. Everyone else in the arena is just crap, in my opinion, allegedly.
Right. Before we get cracking with the news, just want to introduce Liam. He's been on the podcast before, back in the Bundy days. We brought him back on because his business has gone from one level to the next level, and he's desperate to tell us a little bit about it. But that will come after the news, Liam. But just saying, introducing you. Now someone's thrown £2 into the chat already.
Did everyone stop putting money in? Yeah, I don't know. We don't need it. I don't know what we're going to do with it.
But yeah, say hello, Liam.
How you doing, guys?
You are the creator and founder of Komodo Workwear. And we're going to get right deep into this because actually I want to really learn about the process and how you've got to where you've got to now.
I think it's
really interesting. It's something we want to delve into. But before we do, we got some... news. Some news that Jamie's managed to wrangle up for us this week.
We've got a bit of news and we're touring a new format. After the news, we've got a few features, which is sort of like, they're not very news, but the things
made up shit that Jamie's brought up that probably I don't
just
like.
Just to keep the show flowing in and just making sure that we address things that need addressing. And something that needs addressing is last week's show. Anyway, actual electrical news, not content, that's my line. First of all, now I remember, do you remember 3G being the thing? That the first time your phone went fast, you could maybe watch a film or a YouTube video or something like that. It's dead.
Well, do you know what winds me up about 3G and 4G, right? And 5G. So when 4G came out, 3G was almost like non-existent. It went from being the best thing to almost not working. Now 5G's out, 4G's gone from being the best thing to almost not working. I'm sure they ramp it down as it comes out.
They do, because obviously they remove the older equipment, which in this case is 3G, and they start placing the new stuff. However, the one that's in the middle, so at the moment you've got 3G on its way out, 4G sat around, and 5G coming in. But now, up Liverpool way, EE, this is particular stuff EE, they're taking out 3G. Now, most people won't be hanging on to a phone from the 3G days, but I've just put this on here for like anyone out there. When you get into your smart home security, things you put SIM cards in, like your vans, all these odd things that have SIM cards, yeah? They've got a 3G SIM card in it. That's going to stop working. Absolute nightmare for alarm installers by all accounts and people that like smart meter people. So like smart meters, I do believe, don't quote me, so I'm going to look into it and I'll speak to someone who knows a bit more than me. I think, you remember the, remember there was 2G and it was called, was it GPRS?
Yeah, it's called it.
Apparently that still exists for like the real low-level data stuff. But 3G is on its way out. So if you've got a 3G iPhone 3GS you're hanging on to, going to stop working. It's
yeah, but hold on. Now. What about the smart meters? I thought the reason people don't want them in their house because they're 5G and it causes all kinds of weird DNA malfunctions.
The meters are 5G. Would be a very expensive technology to put into meters. However, the meters in one area of the country are radio and the meters in another area of the country work on, I think, 3G. So someone's going to come around your house at some point and swap the SIM card. It's ridiculous, but the technology moves fast now. So yeah, if you've got any, I don't know, random dialers, things that you put SIM cards in, like, I don't know, little, you know, the little internet dongles you might have had. It's all going to stop working in a couple of years, so be aware.
Oh, Josh Junior's back. Josh, stop sending money, bruv.
Mate, Josh Junior must have shifted some gear. He must have shifted some gear this week, start pumping his money out like that. That's it in the show. Number two, this
month. Don't be turning away money, lads, yeah? Just
buy it,
yeah?
We don't know what to do
with it. What are we going to do with it?
Grateful for it, then, you know what I mean?
Josh, don't send us any more money, mate. Just send us the gear directly. That'll be loads more use to us. This one is not about solar, but it's about, has anyone else seen these, like, so green and good that they proper love it, like green things?
Wait, we ain't finished with the 2G and 3G. Listen,
oh, we're not.
Smart meters are 2G, apparently.
I believe that is the case, but some of them, the early ones, had 3G SIMs in them. So there's who knows? This is the thing.
So is it a big problem or a little problem?
If you're an alarm installer, it could be a big problem. If you've done stuff like that's got any kind of comms, it could be a big problem for you. You might not know. You might not realise. You could have fit this stuff 10 years ago. People might start ringing up saying it's not working. Just be aware. Have a think about it. And get rid of your 3GS. There's only one person that's like to have a really old phone that's 3G, and that's David Savory. So
yeah, I bet he's got a flip phone.
I bet he's got that Nokia Matrix phone, the 7110.
Oh, no, they were decent. But no, he's probably got, like, Motorola Wings.
We could do an old podcast, and probably will, on mobile phones.
Oh, Josh, he's done another fiver. Listen, David Savory, 9 times out of 10, will definitely have, like, a Motorola or one of them really weird old-school phones. Not a Nokia, because that was cool.
I remember when screens went from green screens to orange screens. I thought that was a whole lot of technology. That's when it went for me.
No, I like the blue screens. Like, always the good great. Nokias, the good Nokias had the blue screen. Listen, our man Liam don't know nothing about these days.
He doesn't know. In the chat.
I'm 28, so I know a little bit about the old Sony Ericsson and the Nokias and that, you know what I mean?
But you had a BlackBerry.
In the chat.
I had a few BlackBerries in my time, yeah.
They were big till they went dead.
They're coming back, mate. They're on the comeback. I can't let go of the keyboard, though. They've still got the keyboard, I reckon.
We'll do a proper radio question in the chat. Can you put the last actual mobile phone you had that weren't a piece of glass? So the actual last real phone you owned that weren't just a sheet of glass. Numbers on and shit. Stick it in there. Let's have a nose that later.
Oh, so I've got a really funny story about this. So years ago, I had... I can't remember what one it was. Might be the 8210. It was a small one that you could take so you had the 5210.
These young people are like, what the fuck?
Right? And then I had this little red one and you could change the face and all that, right? Anyway, I was in Streatham years ago, which was a well-known like bang down area. And I didn't know. So what was I doing? I think I had a flat tire driving through there. And I left it on the roof of my car. I had a Fiat Uno Fire, right?
Scrappage scheme. See you later.
No, I had a body kit on it and everything. That ridiculous. Anyway, I was doing something with a tyre and a prostitute come up to me and was talking to me. And I was I was only like 17. I was like, this is really weird and awkward. Anyway, I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I turn around, I go to look for my phone, and I see her running off down the road. I thought, why is she running? She'd nicked my phone from the roof of my car, bruv. I got robbed by a prostitute in Streatham for my phone.
And on that bombshell, News 2. What a segue. What a segue. Rob Barr tonight. If you are open for last week's action, sorry. There's a lot of green schemes like this, where they're not just green. Being green isn't enough for some of these people, yeah? They've got to be, like, super woke and trendy in that. So in London, the mayor's scheme was so that whole streets of houses could buy solar panels, slap them on the roof, and all share the energy, and there'd be baby unicorns running around and fluffy bunnies and all sorts. Yeah, it didn't work, and it's all gone tits up. I'm interested to know how you'd share electricity from solar panels with your neighbours.
What? That was a thing?
It was a thing, yeah.
You was going to have like a solar array between a couple of houses.
So you'd share your solar array with your neighbours, but you'd divvy the electricity up between you. I'm not aware of anything that could actually
How could that even work?
I don't know. Oval's in the chat, maybe he'll tell us. But you'd still have to have your own meter, wouldn't you, for each individual house? But it's just one of them. If you're going to go green and do some green shit, just do it. If you want to do some woke shit, just do it. As soon as these two things combine, there's a clusterfuck. If anyone wants to know about Robert and Energy in Nottingham, that was a woke green thing. Went bust. Now our council's gone bust.
No, do you know what? I do think that, like, sharing, like, if you had it, you know, if you have a solar array on your house, yeah, yep, and then you have a battery, sometimes that battery fills up and then it goes straight into the grid. But yes, if you could sort of gift that to your neighbour who you know is having a hard time, that'd be nice. You know, like you can gift data on your phone.
I'm not against the concept, but what I'm saying is technically it's quite complex to do.
Could you not just split the energy coming off of it into three separate batteries, one for each property, for example?
Again, how do you split that? Because energy doesn't divide up like cakes. It's a nice idea, but it just doesn't function technically yet. Maybe we're not there yet.
When I was in Australia, I was doing a little bit of door-to-door knocking salesman as a solar panel selling. And the scheme that they was doing out here, I don't know if it's similar over here, I'm not too sure, but what I would basically go and sell is a package to say that whatever you're paying currently, we would come in and install the solar panels for free, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then we would come in and charge you exactly what you're paying now for whatever bills you are for your electrics. I don't know how successful this company was. Obviously, I left there a long time ago. And basically, over the time that the money that you were saving actually paid for the install of the solar panels. So then throughout sort of 3 to 5 years, then you would have the solar panels completely for free, essentially, because you paid the same bills and they was installed for nothing. And then that was sort of the greener way that they'd done it.
Like rent a roof, they called it over here, I think. That was a thing. It was called rent a roof. They'd rent your roof, give you some electricity, and then they'd take the money for the rest.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure how it worked here, but that's essentially what we used to go and sell. We used to say, right, whatever your money is, say you're spending $100 over there, then you would still pay $100, but you would only be using $60 worth, and then obviously $40 would go towards the install.
What was that? Surely in Australia, now I've got solar on my house, it saves me money. Surely in Australia, it's just you just get solar, don't you? Surely you didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to sell it, did you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, obviously, I don't know whether their sort of grid system is the same, but I'm just talking about in terms of the scheme. So technically, everyone would have to charge an install fee to get it installed, but they would basically say, look, there's no install fee, and then you would basically have to just pay the exact same bills as what you're paying currently, and then the difference that you're saving technically would then go towards the
fee. That's a really good scheme. It was like that's decent.
Yeah, sure, in Australia though. Sure, in Australia, everyone's on it.
I was thinking like this is an easy sell, but obviously people are still skeptical and they didn't really want to go for it. But yeah, we did make some sales and stuff.
Still giving us money. I'll tell you what, that's really... New Age, if you're listening, I'll be in touch with you. So I'd like to get someone like New Age back on to talk about solar in Australia, because surely everyone's just got... It's sunny all the time, isn't it? Surely everyone's stepping in.
Well, the thing is, it is sunny over there a lot. So that's why it was quite a good... Well, I thought it was a good business idea.
Pay for your beer, did it, while he was out there?
It sure did. I mean, I wanted to do different jobs than just being an electrician. And that job come up and I was sort of... thought it was a bit of an easy sell. It was harder than I thought, but yeah, it was.
Yeah, because you'd think it'd be well easy to sell solar to Australians.
You think, come on, mate, the sun's gleaming all day long. Do you know what I mean? It's basically free. You know what I mean? Your bills don't change and you get solar panels. So after the 5 years or whatever the the cause of the paying back it was.
Seems
the,
like a good scheme to me, man.
That I don't know, if, I don't know if the firm went bust, though. It didn't sound like very...
We had it in the UK. It was called Rent-A-Roof. But no,
that is not what we had.
We did. We had, well, similar scheme to that was called Rent-A-Roof. There was loads of firms.
I'd say it's the same, though.
They've all gone bust because it's not sunny here. It's not sunny enough, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I live in the sunniest part of the UK. The south coast down here is the sunniest part of the UK. And, mate, it's been raining for fucking a week.
You can grow grapes down here, can't you? Is that how sunny it is or something like that?
Tell me, man. Golf course flooded.
Are you a golfer, are you?
Oh, see you later. Thanks for coming.
Bye. Let's go into sharpening knives. Oh, look, I tried to make my own knife yesterday.
That looks like a knife off the Nintendo 64 GoldenEye because the graphics are bad. Right. Swiftly moving on.
Josh Jr., I will send it out this week. My wife forgot to send it, so blame her, not me.
And you get the knife as well, the homemade 2-pixel knife. Right. I'm getting sued, apparently, or I'm going to be sued, or I've been threatened with being sued. I need to pull up this.
I hope so more than anything.
Yesterday, whilst I was at the football doing my actual job, yeah, a good long-term following person on the show, Joseph Valentine, whose name I'll learn to pronounce correctly eventually, said, on his Facebook openly, do you have a podcast and want me as a guest on your show? Drop me a DM with your name and the podcast of your show and I'll come on. So I was like, brilliant. We've asked him on like 5 times. We've asked him for statements about his training and his course and everything. This is the perfect opportunity. So just popped on Instagram. Everyone's let him know he should come on the number one podcast for electricians because he loves selling courses to electricians. So we would be the ideal vehicle for him. So a few people, thank you very much to those who participated, popped on there to say, hey, you want to get yourself on Electrician's Podcast? I went on there and says, I'm the host with lovely Sam. Do you want to come on the podcast? He got quite aggressive in the replies, to be honest. I'll read it out to you.
Read it out.
He said, this is at me directly in a comment. There's no allegedly here. This is what he said. If you make another video spouting lies about me and slandering mine or my company's names, be prepared for the consequences. I will unleash fury on you. You have the audacity to come here, invite me on your podcast. You're even more stupid than you look. First of all, you asked for the podcast to come on, and that's what I offered you, yeah? I'm not sure what the consequences are. I'm not sure if that's threatening behaviour or if it means legally, doesn't specify allegedly. But yeah, go for it. Yeah, I've not said anything about it that's not, I can't back up, that I'm not willing to go to court for, so...
See, the thing is, right, if he came on
and squared it up, you're always welcome on this show, as are anyone who can prove they're making 7 figures after going on one of your courses.
See, because my thing is, right, he obviously believes in his product. He thinks it's a real deal and he can deliver all this. You obviously think it's a scam. Come
allegedly
on, prove you wrong.
I'm dying to meet the chippies, the solar people, the builders, the gas men that are doing 7 figures. I mean, I'd like to ask him why I didn't apply this scheme, his teachings to his original firm that didn't go bust but got sold short before it ran out of money and 2 million quid to people, not allegedly, but allegedly. So yeah, come on. Come and tell me how wrong I am. And like I said in a podcast yesterday, I'm an engineer. I never rule anything out, mate. Anyone, if you've done 6 figures, come and tell me.
I've said to you before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to relax because you ain't done his course. What do you know? And I still stand by that. You don't know nothing until you know what his course is.
I know a bit about his course because I had someone go on it for me.
Well, you didn't have someone go on it for you. You know somebody who went on it.
No. I had someone go on it.
And what do you know about it then?
That I'm saving it for a video I'm doing. Watch this space.
No, come on, give us a little bit of quick.
I can't view. Because it's got to go through my pro bono legal team because I've got recordings of the meeting.
What do you mean legal team?
I've got someone to do pro bono legal for me. It's got to go through that. But I know someone's been on it. Someone's going to speak about it.
You know
it's
what? Happened. My bullshit meter is off the chart.
There's
right
no
now,
bullshit Andy. Meter. I'm a proper journalist now. I'm a big boy now. So yeah, I've had
all I'm saying is it's off the meter right now. I feel like you're shitting shit.
Back to the pure tax though, yeah? He has to come on a podcast. He wants to go on Tradesman's Podcast. We're a Tradesman's Podcast. Come on.
Really, he wants to go on Trade Legends. That's what he wants to do.
What he wants to go on is podcasts where they suck him off, basically. He don't want to go on. He don't want to get challenged. He just wants to sell his wares, which always worries me. Makes me feel a bit unnervous. Like, you should, if you've got something to say and don't be afraid to get challenged about it. So
the thing is, you will challenge him on his course. And if I think he's lying, I'll challenge him on his course. But he might come in and blow us both out.
I'm not saying...
David Savory just says that you look like Joseph Valente, Liam.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Are you his love child?
Don't throw me into the mix, you know what I mean? I'm staying well clear out of this.
He don't want Sirin.
He used to do... Didn't he? Was he like a plumber or... I mean, he might have some good tips, you know what I mean? You don't know how much... do you know how much the course or how much he's charging?
I'm not saying he won't tell you some business tips, but I'm not saying it's not all out there anyway. I'm not saying he'll get you to a room in Peterborough, sit you there for 6 hours with a load of like-minded people, G you up into an absolute frenzy like Stockholm Syndrome, then in the afternoon, have you taken to a room on your own with one of his hardcore salesmen who'll bum you for a £1,500 to £2,000 course. I'm not saying he'll do that. That's sort of what I think he probably does, though.
I think it's difficult because a lot of people in business just sort of already know the answers, and it's just almost like just being patient and going through the steps that you already know that you need to do. And I think sometimes people need a coach or a mentor to sort of guide them through, and that's obviously how he values himself helping people develop and grow in their sort of journey in their business. But, you know, I don't really know too much on the geezer or what he does.
The guy charges to go on his first course in Peterborough is £49. You get your money back. Then it's about £1,500 if you want to do some more training, yeah? He says, his own words, not allegedly, in September he turned over £700,000. So that means a large amount of people have been on his course, yeah, if he's turned over £700,000. And I thought by now, after 6 years of trading as Trade Mastermind, I thought we'd start to see these people going out going, oh yeah, I made a fortune because I went on this course. I ain't seen anyone. They're either keeping it a big secret or they don't exist. I'm not sure which one.
I appreciate that, but surely, accounts is public record. So technically, if you wanted to, you could just search whatever firm he's putting these through and see what actual numbers he's doing.
I can, but his figures from September or this year won't be available till next year. He's also, if anyone wants those, it's publicly available knowledge. I'm not going to reveal secrets here. He extended his accounting period from July last year to December, so I won't be able to get to see his accounts till September. Not that I'm looking regularly or anything like that.
Yeah, you are.
He's on the refresh, isn't he? He's on the refresh.
Yeah, just keeping an eye on that shit. I can like keep it on lock.
Jamie, cards on the table, right? What do you think he's offering?
He's selling something. But
what do you think selling?
Right. You know, this is an alleged, yeah? He could buy a professional builder, professional electrician, GB News and all that lot, yeah? He could buy all them. You can't buy this show. All I'm here for is represent tradesmen, represent Sparks in particular, yeah? And I won't stand by whilst people that are maybe a little bit silly, maybe a little bit green, or maybe a little bit desperate get ripped off by people like him. So that's where
I'm at. What I'm saying is,
warn people.
Think he's ripping people off is what I want to know.
He's selling a dream, isn't he? It's snake oil. It's not a pure con, is it? But it's snake oil. It's like, you get a load of people in a room and whip them up into a frenzy, you can get them to sell, you can sell them any old shit. He's probably got loads of businessy-related pamphlets and stuff like that. I believe they give you a package of, like, just change your company name and all this stuff. You get something. It's not possible to say he's not giving you anything, yeah? Because that is not true.
So do you think he's like doing the bare minimum and claiming the most maximum?
If you get to ring him up every week, but it's not going to earn any money. He's saying that you're going to do seven figures. You're going to do seven figures before his course. That's not true. He's not even saying allegedly. He's preying on people like the Bitcoin salesman. What was them fucking NFT salesman? All that. It's the same old scam that comes around every few years. It's all timeshare. They get you down there. Get you in a room with a load of like-minded people, whip you up into a frenzy, yeah? I've been away with the army and stuff, yeah? We all get a bit excited on exercise. And you just all get whipped up because you're together. You're all boisterous and that. And if someone told me to, I'd go and fucking throw a table for a chip shop window if they told me to, because I'm that fired up about it. And you can get groups of people like that, fire them up, then they ping you off in the afternoon to bum you for £2,000 for an extra course.
Years ago, I watched this program all about these courses where they get you in a room, they hype up the room. And what they do is, like, one of the techniques they do to get you into that mindset of doing
allegedly.
Not even allegedly. What they do is you'll get in there And they'll be like, right, everyone stand up. Everyone stands up and they'll be like, right, turn around and put your hands in the air and spin round. And everyone turns around, puts their hands in the air and spins around. Go sit down. And then they do it about two or three times across the thing. And then at the end they go, right, go to the back of the room and buy the book. And everyone's now programmed.
NLP.
NLP to go to the back of the room and buy their silly books.
It works. It's like all the hypnotists. It's all the same thing. It's clever. It's very clever. Very, very clever, but... And it's not stupid. The guy's not stupid, right? He's clever. He uses clever schemes to sort people in. It's the same with timeshare. They get you down there for breakfast, don't they? Fill you full of cheap booze. They even do the timeshare thing on his course. When you leave, you get a bottle of Moët on your way out. Like, come on. Like, this comes around for years. But yeah, I'm just out there to warn people, yeah?
Benjamin P says, can Sam make seven figures through the Nextdoor app? Well... Let me tell you about something.
What is seven figures a million? It is,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Fucking no chance.
Not make a million.
Don't know. Never say no.
What I'm saying is,
though. 1% of the 1% tip.
Since I've been self-employed, well, not self-employed, on my own, a sole trader, right? My earnings are going like that at the moment. It is incredible. I am so booked up at the moment. I'm booked up for a month again. Like, I'm just constantly booked up, and the jobs that are coming through have gone away from the little jobs. Like, I still, if I've got 10 little jobs like changing light fins, I still do them. But I'm getting like car chargers every week. I'm getting rewires now, which I really want to stay away from. I sub them out now.
And it's just seven figure spork. You are a sub mob now. That's our role.
No, I don't want to get involved in rewires. That's death.
Just to wrap it up from my point of view, as we've said over and over again, excuse me, copper's not working. If you want to know how to run in business, take someone who's in business down the pub for a pint and some scran and have a chat to him. Yeah, that's my advice. Like, people love telling stuff. Go on Instagram, share the wealth, be with the community, yeah? You'll only get told the same stuff. Like, just like what Sam does, just turn up. Don't...
That's my number one thing.
Yeah,
just turn up.
Business advice off watching this podcast that's useful to you as a sparker than you do.
This is a massive segue now.
That's why Josh gives me $2.99.
Let me segue this. Turn up on time, and turn up smart.
Turn up to start right, yeah.
Oh,
turn up
smart. Sweet maneuver!
And turn up in your Komodo shit. Come on. Komodo workwear up on the screen.
Got the wrong graphic.
Now, honestly, are we doing other bits first?
Just one bit, yeah. I just want to wrap it up because it would be wrong not to acknowledge this, yeah.
Oh, I'm very excited to talk about this.
Just last week's show. Just last week's show. Like, it just carnage.
It went off. Last week's show went off. It went bloody nuts.
I think there's a little bit of John in there. Obviously, a little bit of the old Tool Monster stuff was going off. I think there's a little bit of effort. It just, the perfect storm effort just come together. 350 people in the live chat at one point. 5.4K views. Cheers.
Like, it's crazy.
We enjoyed it. I wouldn't enjoy it at the time after it was, but just one little bit, yeah. Be nice in the chat to each other. Let's not get too excited and start accusing people of stuff. Just be nice to each other in the chat. And if someone's not there, don't give them our time, yeah? Some people take banter, but let's not start being rude about people. It would be unfair not to say anything because...
Don't be rude. Who cares?
Don't be rude about people in the chat. Be nice. We want to be a community. We can't be having that. That's my opinion, not as the opinion of Sam.
Shut up, Jamie, you...
Well, I just think we can't go around calling people names, can we? Just be nice, a bit nicer.
Well, like the fingerer.
Yeah, you can call me names, I can take it, but some people, like, just be nice. Just be nice unless it's me and I'm a dickhead. Or Sam, you can call him a fat dick all day long.
Well, every single message.
And on that segue, how do you not look like a fat dick and how do you look good in clothes? Come on, no Komodo work. There you go.
No, I've got to be honest, right?
You know what I mean?
Liam, I want to talk about your journey, actually, because last time we had you on, you was a little bit cagey about it because you was all a bit new to the game and that. And I feel like you've grown a bit now and you've got a lot to talk about. Now, when we had you on, I think it was about 18 months ago now, maybe 2 years. You just started out. You had a few bits and pieces. You sent me some bits and pieces. So I had your first iteration of Clobber, And now you've just sent me some new clobber. And let me tell you, I am on the search for the ultimate workwear for fat men. Now, it's fair to say that you haven't really designed this with fat men in mind. However,
it's not a fat clothes brand. You thin people can buy it
too.
No,
it's not. However, mate, it's comfortable. The fitment on everything is so on point. The trousers, like, you don't look like you're about to go to a karate tournament in your trousers. They are tapered. They are comfortable. They got the four-way stretch. They got all that. And honestly, it's as good a quality, I would say, as some of the Engelbert stuff, like the everyday Engelbert stuff. It's better quality than Scruffs and all them fucking other silly brands, like them Screwfix brands. And I think, I don't know, but I know that Snickers only lasts about 6 months. So these have got outlast Snickers, and they might get that top brand, mate.
Have they got any better? Because they were the brand. They were the 20 years ago, they were the brand.
Yeah. Well, listen, Snickers,
it was good, but to me, it started falling apart after 6 months.
I had a pair of Snickers and they were fucking comfortable, really comfortable. And these are matching them pound for pound. Now, tell us a little bit about your journey and why you went from... So you obviously was on the tools, fannying about, and you had this sort of idea to create a clothing brand. Take us from there.
Yeah, so I had the idea about comfortable workwear. I didn't really feel like there was things on the market that was comfortable for a reasonable price. Obviously, there's different price categories for everyone, and not everyone likes to spend north of £100 for a pair of trousers.
Well, some of them Snickers had £220, didn't they?
Yeah,
there's some trousers.
Some premium brands out there, and some premium prices. And the vision for the brand in the long term is to eventually bring out a price point catered for everyone, you know, but still keeping everything comfortable and stylish. So we want to bring out a sort of, you know, a reasonable price one, a bit more of the middle range, which is sort of the range we're at now, sort of that £50 to £60 pair of trousers. And then obviously you've got the premium sort of, anything more than that, I would say, is a bit more of a premium cost. But we still want to bring the quality and the look of a premium product for sort of a middle range so that everyone can afford it.
There's a question for you, Chatlim. It's from David Sabre. It says, how spacious are the trousers for the very generously endowed gentleman who dresses to the right?
Yeah, so obviously Sam touched on earlier about the people with that are slightly larger, and we do like to try and cater for everyone in terms of the sizes, the leg lengths. Obviously some brands just have one regular leg length. We try to do like a short, regular and long leg, and we're sort of currently developing some new products which I've sent out to Sam, and some of our products that we're selling currently are more of a jogger style, so they've got a fully elasticated waist. They've got the drawstring, but you can still wear a belt if you want. So we've added in belt loops. And there's basically just all of the features that I felt was necessary as an electrician myself. So zip pockets on the side, like you would get for some normal jogging bottoms. And then all of the essential pockets as well, like the knee pads, trying to keep them positioned in the correct place. And recently we've sold out of a lot of the big sizes. So we're
sort
of... Yeah, Sam's been stocking up. But
hang on, right, I'll go back a bit, because what I want to know is, because Sam knows about this shit, and I went on the pod last time. What's going off? How did it come about? Tell me that. I don't know. Tell everyone who's new where it come from.
Where it come from. So I was on the Central Line coming home from work, and I was working on price at the time as a Sparky. And obviously, when you work on price, you like to work as quick as you can for your money. And some days I would wear just tracksuit bottoms for the comfort. And other days I would wear like combat work trousers for like all of the essential pockets. And the days
and they don't last. They don't last.
They don't really. And they weren't really a specific workwear brand, because I felt like they ripped too easy, and I'd just come out of my time. So I was just sort of, I weren't on the best of dough. Obviously I was on price at the time, so I was trying to work as quick as possible for as much money as I could. So I was wearing the tracksuit bottoms. The days I would wear the tracksuit bottoms, I would be comfortable. the days I would wear the work trousers, I would have all of the essential pockets, you know, you're up ladders, you've got all of the pockets that you need. But I felt like there was just that lack of comfort. And I was sat on the central line. I was wearing both pairs of trousers this day. So I was wearing the tracksuit bottoms underneath the cargo trousers. I was surrounded by people and I thought to myself, why am I wearing two pairs of trousers? And then obviously I had the thought of what I just said about the comfort and the functionality. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to design comfortable workwear that's sort of still stylish at a reasonable price for everyone and try and cater for everyone. So that was the sort of light bulb moment. As soon as I got off the train, I was, you know, I was cracking on with it. I'd had a few sort of failed businesses or things that I'd tried in the past. And this one I really thought like I was passionate about because it was a product that I was solving an issue for myself. Like I believe if you're going to do something, you should be your first customer or you should actually use that product or want to use that product. I feel like if you're doing it to solve someone else's issues, you're not going to have that passion or that understanding of the product like yourself. And then Commodo workwear, the word Commodore in Spanish and Italian means comfortable. And that's the concept behind the brand. It's comfortable workwear.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to turn laid up for Commodos.
Yeah, no, we will be bringing out an animal design logo as well. But yeah, it's not actually to do with the Komodo dragon. It's more to do with just the word comfort in Italian. Yeah.
With the, so you get off the central line, how do you even go about finding how to do the trousers? I know you can go on like AliExpress and you find like, or some one of these Chinese websites where you find someone who makes them, you can email them and you can sort of build out from there. Is that what you did?
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortcuts in business. I feel like everyone sort of knows the long stuff. It's just putting the work in and being patient. You know, I was very patient. It took me a long time to get the products out. And there's a lot of things that I've learned along the journey that maybe I would do slightly different. Looking back, I wouldn't do anything differently because I've learned from all of those challenges and it's led me to the person I am today and the understanding of what I know today. But yeah, I reached out to multiple manufacturers. I got them to design a sample. I took pen to paper and designed this trouser and tried to include all of the different functions and all of the different materials in certain places. So the very first trouser that I released was like a jogging bottom material. So like a cotton fleece jogger from behind the knee. So I felt like when you would kneel down in normal work trousers or cargos, it would sort of clog up behind your knee and get a little bit stiff. So I designed a sort of really soft material with the elasticated waist to get the feeling of a tracksuit bottom, but all of the functions of a workwear trouser.
So this is what makes it powerful. And this is why I like this brand. And I have done from the start. Haven't always, I'll be very honest, because that's what we do on this podcast. Didn't like some of the first joggers, did I? Like, I wasn't a massive fan of the first joggers. And then, but the difference is with what Liam's doing is he has been on the tools. He is a Sparky. He's been out there. He's had the same problem we've all had, trying to get comfortable trousers that fit and work nice. And then you've gone away and you've refined a product until it works. And I think you're finally at that product now that is leaps and shoulders above everyone else. How are you finding the difference between what you was producing to what you're producing now and the bigger boys? Are you getting grief from the bigger boys? Are they supportive or are you just not even on their radar?
I'd say I'm definitely on their radar. I say these big boys, they go to all the same trade shows that I go to. Hopefully some of the followers that are listening now will check us out. There's one at Alexandra Palace at the end of the month. And basically we're creating a bit of noise. You know, when we first joined the trade shows, we started taking a little bit of business from the big boys. So there's, you know, the likes of Snickers there, Black Larder, and they come over to me and they was talking about me and I was telling them about my vision and the reason why I got into the business. But they're retailing trousers at sort of between 100 and 150. At the trade show, we tend to do our trousers between 40 and 50 pounds, depending on the trousers. A unique selling point that we usually have, we're currently sold out, but we usually give away free knee pads as well with the trousers. And basically every year and every time we have a trade show, we're taking business from them. But at the end of the day, the people that work on their stalls are not the owners of their company the way I am. So I'm lucky enough, I've got my old man and I've got some other staff now that come down and help me out on the stands. But I've got a real passion, and obviously being the business owner, I'm able to listen to the people, what they want, like yourself. I took constructive criticism from yourself, Sam, and sort of just as a small business, I'm able to adapt and still provide the quality and what people want. And touching on manufacturing, it's not been a finished product straight away. There's always been room for improvement, and we've actually changed manufacturers as well. The reason for that is we had some quality issues, some durability issues that we've dealt with now. And we've gone to a manufacturer that we're now capable of producing a lot of units and scaling. You know, we do want to scale. We want to give back to the community. I'm always giving free trousers out to people that are, you know, in colleges or any college student. I give them a discount straight away. So anyone listening that's a college student, hit me up. We give out college discounts. I always like to give back and support the community because I understand what it's like not to have the biggest budget, but still want to look good and feel comfortable and perform better on site.
Are you full time now, Liam?
The business is full time now. I don't really do much on the tools. You know, if someone, like, I've got a lot of contacts from when I was self employed as a Sparky. Every now and then a job does pop up, and it might be some EV car chargers, or it might be a little job on price. And now that I've got some people working on things in the background, I might go and have a few days on that and, you know, get the mortgage covered and reinvest into things in the business. But yeah, we are full time. I've got a small little office and a warehouse now. And it's gone from a mum's garage to the loft to my house. And then now we've got our own little space for it. So,
you know, I'm trying to ask. Every person called the manufacturer, I asked this year, I remember asking Wolves and being blown away, how many individual lines do you have to carry to do this? So you've obviously got trousers, hoodies and all whatnot. How many, including all sizes, how many lines is that you have to deal with?
So I'll take it, he's talking about the SKUs, so the stock keeping units. So
learned something tonight. So,
basically, we have around, I think it's 187, but I believe it's between that and 200. So what it is, because we've got, so I'm wearing the quarter zip now, Sam's wearing a quarter zip. So we sell the quarter zips alone, we sell the trousers alone, and then we sell them as a twin set as well. So then there's two products that equates to three different SKUs.
What do you sell? Sorry, I'm going. So what products have you got? The trousers, they're like the big one you caught first. Yeah, so you got the tops as well. And is that it? Or is the other? Is the audience?
No, loads of stuff.
There's loads of stuff now. But basically, we started with the trousers. That was the first product. That's what's led us to where we are. But I believe a lot in uniform and feeling like you're in.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
So, like, I feel like whatever age you are, whether you're 16 and you're in college, a lot of college students like to wear tracksuits, and even if you're, you know, middle aged, 40, 50, you still like to be, you know, in a tracksuit or feeling of a uniform. So as you can see on the screen now, some of the materials the trousers.
Just as I changed it, rock it out.
Yeah. So some of the trousers and the materials in the tops are the same. So that's what makes it
ties it together.
So yeah, so you sort of buy that together at a slightly discounted price, but you can actually buy the top on its own, the trousers on its own. And then we do some more sort of, I like to call them blank. So we've got hats, you know, some of the T-shirts, some of the coats that we've got, the gilets. They're just sort of, you know, just a plain jacket that we've tried and tested, but it's not something that I've designed personally, whereas the trousers and the quarters.
The trousers, like your flagship products are there.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously the shorts as well.
Amaze me when people make stuff that you can't just design something. Like, I guess when you do the trousers, that's like, how many arms is just the trousers when you start off? You've got, five sizes? It always baffles me how much work must be involved in keeping all this stuff going.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as I started off, I always wanted to include everyone. So I felt like, because I'm quite tall, so I've always struggled when there's trousers that are just regular length. You know, like if you go to like any sort of normal fashion brand, whether it's Zara or whatever, usually they just have one leg. For me, they're too short. Do you know what I mean? I've got, look like my ankles have had an arm with my trousers. So I always wanted to do sort of a longer leg, a regular leg and a short leg. which is why when we first designed the trousers, we had 12 different units in one pair. So we had a small, medium, large, extra large. So that's four. And then we had a short leg, regular leg, and long leg in all of those as well. And then in every single color of trouser, then we need 12 different variants. And then obviously you got the tops to match as well. So there is a lot to it. And you have to learn about how quickly certain products are going to sell and what's going to be the most popular. So there's been, 3 years of learning, to be honest, of what's the most popular sizes, what goes first, because you don't want to be stuck with stock. You always want to be ordering
at the
time and things selling out at the same time, you know?
The thing that for me that's really made this brand quite valuable to me, actually, is I really believe when you turn up to a customer or when you turn up to a client, it doesn't matter whether you're at tools level, business owner level, you're on site, on like a big site, uptown or something like that. If you turn up looking the part and comfortable at the same time, not only are you going to look the part and be presentable, they're going to want to put you in front of their client because you look the part. And when you go and present to a customer for a big job and you turn up and you look like you're on the tools, but you look like you put some thought into your clothes. And it's just these little things that by having a good light appearance going to a job is so essential. And then on top of that, not only have you got a good, smart appearance where the clothes are well thought out, you feel good, and not just that, you've also got comfortability to add to it. So you just made a word up. Yeah, I know, right?
Comfortability.
I'm sure that's a word.
Trademark that. You ever know that?
but at the end of the day, you're comfortable, smart, and you look like you're turned out properly. So when you turn up in your nice sign-written van with your nice toolkit, in your nice clothes, all sign-written, you look $1 million. And that really goes a long way to getting the type of clients you want. Because anyone who's hiring someone walking around in jogging bottoms and a hoodie with a hole in, they're not the clients I want to be in front of.
Can I ask some boring technical questions?
Yeah, of course.
Like, what are we aiming at? Are you aiming at like one-man bands, half-bashing that? Because it's well known I wear Engelbert Strasser for everything. And that's not, it's just a preference I've got, because not only do we lose what I want, I wear bib and brace, I don't like having belts on, yeah. But they also conform to obviously like fireproof and all that kind of stuff for certain sites. So where are we with that? Are you not aiming at that level of market yet? Is it like for the like commercial, domestic, or have you got anything like that going off?
Yeah, so there's definitely, I'll run you through some of the different, you know, products that we'd like to release in the future. But currently we're sort of running a B2C business model, which is basically selling products to the everyday user, whether you're a plumber, carpenter. So just sort of the basic trousers that don't need to meet fire safety requirements. However, we will be introducing a fire rated trouser in the future. We will be doing, you know, women's workwear. I feel like there's a massive
market.
I really want to provide for everyone, but as a small business, I'm just trying to grow organically and trying to cover my costs in the right direction to then enable me to grow. I've got big visions and big goals to eventually bring out fire-rated products, as I mentioned,
and
twin sets, and obviously the women's workwear.
The women's stuff, if you do it right, you'll clean it up.
Yeah, I mean, we've got...
No one's doing it right yet.
The word Commodore is masculine, so the word Commoda is, you know, we've already got the Instagram made, so it's going to be Commoda workwear for the women, and then we want to be doing a high-vis range. Obviously, there's a lot of competition in that market already. But there's no goal for me here, you know. It's we want to sort of cater for everyone.
So when I was looking online, when I was working on site, I was looking online for a high-vis t-shirt that was not completely high-vis. So it was high-vis enough. So almost like you had sewn a high-vis top onto
a t-shirt.
That's what I was looking for. And
do you want to be seen
sold that? Was like £60, and I was like, well, I'm not paying that. because I sweat a lot, so I have to have a fresh t-shirt every day. So I'm not paying 60 quid for 5 t-shirts to go work in. That's not happening.
Yeah, it's difficult because with the higher vises, they're so cheap and they're so like throwawayable, if that's even a word.
Tonight, can we get some of that? We're laughing.
Yeah.
But I do feel like there's definitely a market for that, especially the way the world's going now with sustainability and products being used more often. And I have actually looked at doing something similar, especially with jackets and gilets, but there's always little design faults. You know, I have actually got some samples in of certain things that you've just mentioned. However, there's always been one or two slight things that have prevented me from going down that line, you know, whether it be a reversible gilet or so, like it could be stylish, but then either side, it's quite, you know, it's not very comfortable either side. So there's always been slight issues with that. But there is some products out there that do sort of a semi high vis. So it is ENISO and in a certain specific number rated that, but it's only up to a certain amount of washes as well. So there's a lot of things to consider before just.
I'll have a look at some of your stuff, because what I was getting at earlier is I like to look, as Sam said, like I am a work tradesman.
Yeah.
Some of the gear I have to wear, which is like, as I said, was this strass stuff, I look too much like a workman. I don't want to be in someone's commercial building looking like I'm doing some industrial welding on a shipyard. So I'm looking for a brand that's a bit more like smarter and wearable. Yeah.
This is that. When I turn up to a customer in my Komodo stuff, I actually feel more confident turning up in it. Because you're dressed smart, but you're still about it. So you're sort of representing that you're about the trade, but you're also smart at the same time. It's a different feeling you get from wearing Komodo that you don't get. And this isn't me just kissing your ass because you're on the show, because we've had products on the show that we've not been so fantastic about and said it. Do you know what I mean? I really like the Komodo stuff. I think it's come on leaps and bounds, and that's why you're back on the show, because I think it offers quite a lot.
It's not on his industry as well, is it? Designing clothes. Taking on designing PPE for women, have you got any formal trending clothes design yet?
We've got some samples that have already come and we're now tweaking. So, yeah, the ball is rolling. We've got some fire-rated samples that have already come in. And we've also got high-vis samples that are coming in. Well, that's one of the things that I've learned along my way doing the business, is that you really have to be patient with the samples and you can't rush to get
them.
Unfortunately, it might slow down certain things, but at the end of the day, getting the products right is the main thing.
And there's nothing worse, mate, than like, a lot of the girls I work with say there's nothing worse than a manufacturer who's brought out a female range and all they've done is change the direction of the button. But the cut's the same, and it's just the same pair of trousers with the button the other way.
It's very difficult to try and take them for everyone.
Have you been weeding your garden again, Sam? Oh no, he's. How can you be so fat with such thin legs?
See that? Look at a stretch on those.
I had to have a wee. I couldn't hold it.
You'd not been out for a trousers. I knew you'd been pissing your garden, you dirty tramp, again, allegedly.
Ian had a little piss patch. Now, honestly, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And it's so comfortable. Now, I'm looking forward to the fully elasticated waist ones, because that is when I'm really going to be putting them to the test.
Yeah. But,
the women's market, that is something that when you speak to a lot of the girls online, obviously we've had quite a lot of the female electricians on our show. We've always supported female electricians. And that's the number one thing that they really struggling with is workwear, because a lot of girls, some girls have short legs and big butts. So it's hard to find. Well, it's hard to find like trousers that accommodate that and the short legs, and usually they're really long, really baggy, and they're like, I don't know, they're like really baggy leg trousers, and that's not comfortable to work in, especially if you've got to roll up the trousers and all that sort of stuff. So accommodating for a woman's figure in these trousers, that's comfortable.
It has been a strange one, really, because at the trade shows, there is a lot of, you know, female tradeswomen that come, whether they're from electricians or different trades. And a lot of them have given me mixed reviews. You know, some of them have said that the men's is more comfortable. They find it a little bit more spacious. Others say that they like a, more of a slim fitting design. So obviously women naturally have a little bit more wider hips. So that's something that's sort of catered for. Obviously the trousers that we're running currently that are on the screen are, do have a fully elasticated waist. So we do run those as a unisex, and there's a lot of women that do have our products at the moment, but we do want to make a product that is specifically for women.
That's going to be so powerful, man.
I'm going to try and say something. I don't want to be controversial. I'll say something, yeah, but one thing about women on site, I hate to see, is I hate to see women with the hair out, right, or down. And I get that they're doing it because there's no good cuts of clothes from that make them feel womanly. And I'm trying to be careful now. They have the ear down to indicate that they're female. And also when people walk up to them, they don't say the wrong thing. And at 8 to 6, I think it's dangerous, especially on industrial site. So as soon as someone brings a decent cut out, the women can wear and feel and look like women. If that's not trying to be rude, great.
I think it's a fair comment.
You see,
I
mean, wearing their ear down,
we're in dodgy water right now.
Yeah, because there's no woman here. So like we're being kidding. But I see a lot of women that go, I want my ear down so people know I'm a woman. I'm like, just not the safest thing. Like, you want to see long-haired blokes. So, yeah, fair play if you get a cut out for them that makes them feel more...
The current trousers that we've got are a fully elasticated waist. The trousers that we're bringing out shortly that Sam's now trying, they're a step up in quality for sure.
Unbelievable.
They need to hold his waistline in.
And we've got basically, they've got a button, but they come with a built-in belt. So they've got a built-in belt, so you don't actually have to wear a
saving
belt.
Grace.
And then that can actually be adjusted on a pull cord clip. So the belt's built in, you still get that elastic feeling. And then in the future, the vision is to, once we're out of stock on the current trousers that we've got, the current joggers, we will be releasing a trouser that is a fully elasticated waist again, with the same quality and the same belt built in. So it will be a fully elasticated waist with no button, and then it will have the belt as well. But obviously some people prefer having the belt and zip, and some people like to just...
I hate having belts.
But what I think you're doing at the moment is you've really hit that space where anyone can come and get your product and be comfortable in it, whether you're a big guy, whether you're like a slim guy. I'm a 38 waist, probably 40. And I'm not, but I'm fat around the torso. I haven't got fat arms. I haven't got fat legs. I'm fat around the torso.
You look like Gru, don't you? Out of this
big I do. So with that, it's about the fitment. So if I buy a 38 in scruffs, for instance, the leg is so baggy that I just won't wear it because there's no way I'm walking around like that. I suppose DeWalt, they do a really good trouser that is tapered. But again, their waist sizes, they come up so small. So you end up getting like a 42 because really that's a 38 in real life terms. And then the trouser leg again is too baggy. So what you've done, what you've managed to do is produce a trouser that does fit all, which is a massive, massive achievement. Also,
just say, Liam, and this is for people watching the chat as well. When you get a minute tomorrow, it'd be well worth you watching this back and reading the chat because there's some good inquiries.
Yeah, there'd be
and
good feedback
there.
In there.
Paul, yeah, James Kane's put one. I know James Kane works on shows and stuff like that. Are you thinking of producing a black high vis? We use them a lot on events. I've never seen anyone sell anything like that. I'm guessing that's a black T-shirt with a
we're black anything.
It's not high vis colour, but it's got the silver strips on. That's an interesting one. But there's some good
things. Just to go back to the comments, like if anyone's got a specific question, I will go back and watch this. But if anyone's got a specific question for me, if there's a product that they would actually like, just check out the Instagram. It's at Komodo Workwear. Send us a DM, and we'll definitely get back to you and try.
Put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
I was going to do a graphic, but I forgot. Sorry.
That's all right. No stress.
No, I think you've come a long way, Liam. I think these trousers are fantastic. I hope they last the test of time. I mean, I've been wearing mine now for about 3 weeks, And mate, I can't, like, honestly.
Makes you not wear a different pair, does it?
Mate, if I really, I need two pairs. Like, by the end of the week, they're pretty crusty. They're pretty crusty by the end of the week, yeah.
And what we ought to mention as well is Liam at Patreon tonight, we've invited him on because he's a UK manufacturer, doing well for himself, This isn't another channel I might mention. Obviously, Reverso and stuff like that, we've had him on because you can speak to a real person and ask him about stuff, and that's why Liam's on, even though I'm notoriously with Ingbert Strass. We are supporting.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
This, you know what I mean? Just want to make sure it's not paid. We've got him on because we like what he's doing.
I mean, Jamie, do you always have to wear fire rated stuff, or is there times?
It's not the fire rated. I have to wear orange Ivies a lot, and I like to wear bib and brace. And obviously, to wear bib and brace, you've got to use a German company.
Got to be a Bellend.
And I wear their jeans. I'm wearing them now, like I always wear their jeans because they've got loads of pockets on. I can't stand up that high. This isn't my old studio, but. I am in the market, but looking at your site because I want something that's a bit more like that I can wear a bit more casually, like round the office.
Yeah, of course.
I don't do domestic, but like, you know, if I go, I used to have that I can't use Ingbert Strass for is we used to have what we call clean gear. So if you're doing like, say you're going to some like a football club doing the VIP rooms, we'd wear the clean gear, but we'd never wear Ingbert Strass. It looks like you're working. Whereas we want to look like we're not going to knacker the place up. So something like what you do would be good for us for that.
That's exactly what it is.
I didn't realise that you was on there. Obviously, I sent over Sam some stuff to test out and obviously get his thoughts on it.
Well, that should drown me, mate. So don't send the same size as him.
Well, obviously, if you just send us over your address and your sizes, and I'll shoot you over something that I feel.
I'll have a look, mate. I'll have a look. But yeah, it's just like, and it's then, also for courses. Like, not everyone's doing industrial welding or climbing up.
Yeah,
I do. But yeah, when I do need something tidy that's neat and presentable, Ingbert Strass don't do that for me. So yeah, I'll be looking at you some of your gear, definitely.
Yeah, there's always people asking, you know, certain people want the holster pockets, some people don't want the holster pockets, you know, trying to cater for everyone's needs and especially sizes as well has been one of the biggest challenges in the business. But we, you know, it's a challenge that we've accepted and it's something that we take pride in is the fact that we...
I think the sizing wise, for me, and I am odd, you have got it down to perfection. So... We're doing well.
One thing in the chat, can you embroider it or can you have it embroidered for people?
Yeah, so we do.
A few people have asked that.
Yeah, we take care of all of the embroidery in-house. Basically, the setup, we've got a small setup fee for whatever logo it is. We will send it over in a digital form. You'll confirm it. We'll then get it printed on a little mock-up, like a waste piece of material, just to get it confirmed what it looks like on the actual stitching. And then once that's confirmed, it's saying like £5 per embroidery.
That sounds like I set that question up, but Jamie just got us the chat.
Yeah, we don't make no money on the embroidery because at the end of the day, I want people to be wearing my products and I want people to embroider it and show off their firm, which, you know, if I stand up, you see our logo is a little bit lower. And we've left the chest areas and the arms free on certain products to just put their own customer. Yeah, but I mean the customer's got to come first, right? And then obviously with the embroidery, if there's any products that you wanted to get embroidered yourself, or if you have your own embroidery, that's, you know, obviously that's okay. But yeah, some people
everyone's made a word of purpose at me tonight. But I want to say, I think if you're going to wear workwear, if it's not embroidered, it doesn't show that you give a fuckery. You know what I mean? It really, I think, embroidered workwear.
I don't necessarily shows
a higher level.
It's difficult for self-employed people because obviously they don't necessarily, like maybe they don't want to have their name on there or something like that. I think when I was an apprentice, and I mean, I've always sort of liked to take care of my appearance, but there was certain phases where I just didn't really care how I looked or didn't really like to look appealing. But then when you sort of go into, you know, being a self-employed or being fully qualified, as Sam mentioned, when you turn up, your first impression does actually resonate with the customer. Massive. Whether that's a domestic job, whether that's a commercial job, you just look more professional. So I could go on a building site and I might be, you know, the only spark, and I'm speaking to managers that are, you know, in whistles and like, because they're in suits and, you know, they look the part, you want to look the part as well. You always want
copyright this year. What I want to see is, and I've always thought this, I don't know why I'm doing it, maybe you're going to like me, yeah? Embroidery is great, but like you said, maybe you don't want to be walking around Tesco with your name on or something like that, yeah? Can't someone just do a bit of work with it? It's got a bit of Velcro on, like they do in America, and you have the badge that sticks on.
Yeah, I've looked at the Velcro. We did actually design some for a certain company. I won't mention who it is because they end up actually falling through. But we did look at the Velcro, and that is something that we've looked at, and it is something we may do in the future. We've also looked at other methods as well, sort of like a badge. So, you know, having two buttons and having our own badge logo. So the vision sort of, you know, similar to what you're talking about, is basically two buttons with a badge similar to like maybe what a Stone Island is. And basically having our own logo on there. And then that would be separate to the Komodo Workwear logo. That would still be on the garment, which is a small rubber logo. And then on that patch would be, you'd have the ability to embroider that patch. And then that patch could then be taken off if you, for example, left that firm or, you know, put back onto our...
If you wanted to represent the firm you were subbing for that day, you could have one set of workwear.
Yeah,
with...
you stick it on. And then obviously, even like with, you know, if you're electrician, so it's NEIC registered, or if you're a plumber, which I don't know how many plumbers listen to this, you could have
hopefully none.
But obviously, I mean, like there's all the different trades have got their own, you know, qualifications. So they want to put that on the garment at the end of the day to show that they're at a certain level.
It's a lot to think about.
I didn't get it done before the show, but I'm having all my Komodo stuff tagged up. So that's all going into the shop next week to be tagged up. It's not embroidered, but I have it all printed on. All my original stuff, that's all tagged up already. All my t-shirts are tagged up. I don't want to wear anything that doesn't have my logo on because I'm so proud of my company. I wear it to pick up my daughter. I wear it to take her swimming. I wear it to walk down the shop. I wear it to go shopping with my wife. I'm a walking billboard for my company and I love it.
Well, you have to be, because you don't know who you're going to run into. You've always got business cards ready and leaflets. I mean, I remember I'll be at the gym, I'll be at Wagamama's, I'll be on the train. I'm just dishing out business cards and leaflets. Anyone that I see that, you know, talks about the trades, I'll say, oh, sorry, mate, I heard you talking, you're on the tools. It's always good to just, you know, be available. You never know who's going to see you or who you're going to bump into. Say, oh, Sam's an electrician, you know, I need a job done. And before you know it, you've got a bit of work there.
Exactly. Right, boys. It is that time of the podcast where we have to say goodbye. But Liam, great stuff, great guest. You smashed it, knocked it out of the park tonight. Jamie, you're a bit of a prick as usual.
I got a bit to say at the end of
The Electricians Podcast. We are out.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate that.
Don't stop the recording. The audio recording.
If anyone's got any questions, welcome that. Follow at KomodoWorkwear.com. We've got a few giveaways running at the moment. Trade Light, the Trade Legends podcast, we've got a giveaway going with them.
Never mind. Can't have everything, can you?
The Client Tools as well, screwdriver set with a Navy collection. So enter that giveaway on Client Tools UK. And also we're doing a giveaway for the Dark Grey set with a voltage tester and a pair of cutters, which will be released. The entries will be next week. So if you're watching this, please enter on the Komodo Workwear Instagram and send us any messages or any, you know, DMs if you've got any questions or if there's certain products you'd like us to release in the future.
All right, bro, and your plug.
Fucking hell, don't run the show. Someone's asked
for that. So
it's going for it. We'll advertise more. Someone just pulled me up in the comments. Yeah, where's the veto discount code? Hold on to that thought. I'll come back to you. It's not over yet. Yeah, I'll just say that.
It's coming.
It's happening.
Bye.
Don't stop recording.
Peace.